Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, February 9th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everyone. It is a nippy 18 degrees and extremely sunny today here in upstate New York. So, where did we leave off on January 27th and 30th, which was the last time I was live? We titled the show Rise of AI, Exascale Computing, China, Google, and the Singularity. And then the next day, we listened to the Davos discussion with Ginni Rometty and a bunch of other pretty prominent people in the AI market about the future of artificial intelligence. Of course, Davos is the yearly conference with large corporations and billionaires talking about how they are going to steer the ship for the next year in the future. And a lot of the stuff that they were talking about was stuff exactly that we have been talking about on this show, Internet of Things and IBM's Watson and how it's going to change everything. Coming of artificial intelligence is a danger. People right now are tra-la-lying along about how wonderful it is that we are creating these machines that can think for us, but we have discussed what happens when you don't use your brain. Long term, they are discovering already, because entire generations now have offset their thinking, given it up to the machine, let the TV and mass media do the thinking for them. We're discovering that the average human adult attention span is less than that of a goldfish. We're discovering that already the most basic AI is smarter than the average American adult. And remember, people, this is just the beginning. We are having survivability bred right out of us. Our biggest asset as a mammal is the size of our brain and our ability to use it, our ability to critically think and be innovative, be all MacGyver-y, and get yourself out of sticky situations with paperclip and a chewing gum. But that's not going to happen here. If we start allowing ourselves to be augmented, of course, Kurzweil had talked about that so many times. Now we're hearing it echoed throughout the industry. Talking about Kurzweil, we're going to start there. I thought this would be a good one. We're going to read this story, and I probably read this one before, at least snippets of it. This is from October 2015. Ray Kurzweil, in the 2030s. Mind you, that's only 13 years away from now, if it even seems possible. In the 2030s, nanobots in our brains will make us godlike. And of course, this will be the ultimate of merging with machine. We will be just nodes on that Internet of Everything. And if you see, Internet of Things is being discussed everywhere. I'm seeing it on mainstream. I'm just seeing it like it is just the term du jour now for 2017. And it's cool to get all of our smart devices, our homes, our cars, our TVs, everything. It doesn't matter if your TV's been spying on you for the last 5 years and they never told you. Vizio? No, it doesn't matter at all. I found it interesting too. I see Skype, Microsoft Skype, is forcing an upgrade as of March. I think it's March 1st, I believe, for all their old desktop products. Now, from one hand, I can understand. I've worked in an organization where you've had to support large numbers of users. And if everybody had different versions of software, it was very difficult to support that software across a large number of users. So you would make everyone get on the same version. And then you would work out all the bugs in that one version. Well, we now have Skype demanding that if you don't upgrade, and they've done this before, but this one seemed pretty urgent compared to others because they sent me multiple emails now on it as well. If you don't upgrade by March 1st, I believe was the date, your Skype may no longer work. And as a matter of fact, it may no longer function at all. And you'll probably be bagged and tagged as someone who's not getting with the program. Now, we've learned that Microsoft had a really powerful new translation tool. They were doing translation on the fly, and I know that doesn't sound like much. Yeah, whatever, translation. Google was doing translation too, but we discovered in our research that a lot of what's going on behind the scenes with this translation research is that they were learning to capture and understand the meaning of real-time conversations, not just spoken. We also had Kurzweil working on text and unformatted text, and to be able to gain understanding of the words around it and try to determine the context, even if it didn't know what was being said, determine whether or not somebody was using a code even. We found out that Google's AI was able, for one of the very first times, and I think there have been three instances now, where Google's AI has actually taught itself without any human intervention, and translation was one of them, where they had given it two languages that it had not learned, and it created itself a cipher to be able to translate between one language that it didn't know and the other. It taught itself to do that. That was without human intervention. That's where we're hitting the danger zone now. That's why is 2017 is going to be the year of AI, guys. We talked about that. It is coming. The year of the Internet of Things. It's going to be accelerating faster than we ever imagined this year. Every single day, I see news stories where we got some new AI application or IBM Watson moving into another vertical. I just saw some Asian law firm now hired Watson to work as a lawyer as well. And I don't know, there were a couple other things. We'll have to catch up this week. Sorry, guys, I spent my birthday week. I should apologize. I was gone a couple days longer than I expected because I got really sick. I got this horrible, horrible plague the day I was leaving for my birthday week to go see my friend. And it's actually been a really bitch of an illness. My munchkin had it first, and she gave it to me the day I was leaving. And we're still both struggling. She still got runny nose and everything. Mine went down into my chest and my ears, and my ear blew out on the plane, so that was fun. But anyway, so we'll catch up this week, though. I'll have to go through my AI scraping Google Alert emails are stacking up. But there's some crazy stuff out there. But let's get to, I want to continue because these were all lined up from before I left. So we're going to finish this off and we'll start nice, fresh, shiny, and new on Monday. So anyway, Ray Kurzweil in the 2030s. And of course, Ray, good old Ray, is one of the lunatics out there pushing this agenda forward in the 2030s, nanobots in our brains will make us godlike. Now, you know, the fact that they are discussing AI, the future of AI, the future of 21st century medicine. Yeah, that was another big topic at Davos. They are discussing the Internet of Everything and smart factories as well. The fact that this is being discussed at Davos means this is where the global controllers who make these main decisions are going to be taking us. This is how it's going to be: better, faster, cheaper. They'll have more control. We've already seen in India, they started hauling back on the big bills, and they're pushing forward with this universal ID and cashless society, biometrics. It's not going to be too long. I believe it was 1.2 billion people they rolled that universal ID out to in India. That was with in collaboration with IBM, by the way. IBM again. They are a grand experiment. Mark my words, that will be rolling out here at some point in the not-too-distant future. You're going to see all these reasons why the old-school cash is no good, and, oh, it'll allow for illicit activities. And, oh, we can't track it, and, oh, that money is dirty. I've actually seen that a few times in publications. All the germs that could pass on money. Why are we even using it anymore? Yeah, well, make sure you question that. Because when money is gone, and trust me, I hate touching money because it is, it's disgusting. I just, every time I touch a bill or a coin, I have to go wash my hands. And if I can't, then I make sure I don't touch anything on me until I can. So I do kind of agree with that. They should run it through some sort of ultraviolet sterilizer. But on the other hand, cash is king. Cash is cash. We don't want to get rid of cash, guys. I don't want to have some alternative form of underground monetary system if they take cash away. And it will be. It'll be like kidney beans or something. We'll be paying in things that mean something. You know, cows and cats. I don't know. But we don't want cash to go away, and they're really pushing that again as part of this control grid. You know, we're going to have us connected as part of the Internet of Everything. We're going to have our cash connected to the Internet of Everything, and eventually you won't even need your card, right? We've been looking. These body hackers. You know, eventually Regina Duggan was really pushing the token. You just wave your arm and get your magic powers to be able to walk into a room or pay for your dinner, get into your house. You know, as they spin out a universal ID, it'll be all for the ease of things. And you don't have to remember any more of those pesky passwords. And again, I do have to admit, I hate having 10 million passwords. Especially after you get forced to change them a few times. And then you're like, oh, you don't remember which one was which for which. And especially as you're getting older, it does get a little bit harder. I do like my dad with his spreadsheets. His spreadsheets of his passwords. That he keeps all locked up. Anyway, in the 2030s, nanobots in our brain will make us godlike. And this is the scary part. Because as we're seeing these rich tech lunatics all steering us toward the singularity. The one thing that they've all been talking about is how we're going to be able to live forever. They have a God complex. This is what is driving the ship right now, is lunatics wanting to crack all of the secrets of life. So the end game will be that they can live forever. I don't want to get granularly into that. I've been doing a lot of research on my own. I get a lot into nutrition and bodily systems lately. Now, this has been a really big hobby of mine, and I've really been digging into lots and lots of things. But I just saw something interesting. We found out, according to the longevity scientists and tech billionaires, that one of the ways that they think they might be able to find the fountain of youth. We've talked about this for the last few years. We've been seeing research on this. Is the length of your telomeres. Every time your body has some sort of stress, whether it be oxidative or you're exposed to something that's poisonous or radioactive or chemical or stress, or you party too much, you do anything that's bad for you, which is just about anything we do in excess, Sorry. Your telomeres shorten. And you only have so much length on those telomeres. And once they start getting too short, Jenny, well, it's almost curtains for you. You better make sure that they don't get short. I just saw a study. There's just such weird connections here. I don't even know if I have their names. Scott Kelly. I think that's his name. Scott Kelly. Yeah, Scott Kelly. Weirdly enough, Gabby Giffords' husband. Okay, Gabby Giffords, the woman who got shot, that really kind of kicked off the call for gun control. She was a congressman or a senator, Gabby Giffords, or just an outspoken critic. I don't even remember who exactly or what exactly she was at the time, but I remember very distinctly when she got shot, and it was by, was it Roof? I don't know. There's been so many. I think it was Aurora, wasn't it? No, that was a movie theater. Who the hell knows? But it's the Gabby Giffords shooting. And Gabby Giffords, remember, she got shot in the head or the face. And she survived and didn't really have a lot of damage. But one of the things that they tried on her first and foremost was suspended animation. We've talked about this. So they're doing a lot of research into suspended animation now for long distance space travel. But we discovered, and I knew about the suspended animation back 6 years ago when the accident first happened. Stephanie Sledge from Government Rag magazine, newspaper, online blog. Stephanie Sledge had gone to Arizona and dug deep into that shooting case. And Stephanie had discovered that some strange connections, and that was with Gabby getting that suspended animation treatment. But we find out later, Gabby Giffords' husband is Scott Kelly, who is a NASA astronaut. NASA happened, and DARPA happened to be the yin and the yang that have been experimenting with this sort of suspended animation, dropping the body temperature, lowering the core temp to slow down the bodily processes and put us into some sort of hibernation. And again, like I said, this is in preparation to try to figure out how to do some long-distance space travel. They've used this cooling down technique in the years since Gabby Giffords on some football players who had received some traumatic head and neck injuries. There was a Buffalo Bill as well. I remember very specifically, I don't remember which Bill it was, but they saved him and they actually saved his ability to walk and his motor function by again doing that exact same treatment where they dropped him into the big bathtub full of ice water. And they do cold plasma in an IV, and they cool them down drastically. So all their bodily functions go into slow-mo, and their brain doesn't require as much oxygen. Get it? So anyway, I see. So there's all this history that I've been looking into for a long time that had connections back to NASA and the Scott Kelly, Gabby Giffords' husband. I see a story the other day. This is kind of off topic, but quite not, because it ties to telomeres, that there is a new program at NASA called the NASA Twin Study. And something I didn't know until just very recently is that Scott Kelly, Gabby Giffords' husband, who works at NASA, who was the astronaut who stayed in space the longest, by the way, has a twin brother. And his twin brother, Mark Kelly, is also in NASA. Now, how weird is that? And this twins program, what they've been doing is they are utilizing the Kelly brothers as part of an experiment. And there is a division. I don't know. This was just the strangest thing. And the more I dug, the weirder it got. There is a division within NASA. And hold on, if I could scroll down there, I think it was called the Human Experiment Department or something. They literally have a Human Experimentation Division. And I don't know, here, Human Research Program, that's what it is. And I don't know if that was created for the Kelly brothers or if it existed before them. But this twin study that these Kelly brothers are a part of now through NASA is part of this NASA human research program. So let's read this, because here's what happens. Scott Kelly was the man who spent the most time in space ever. And he's on the space shuttle. He broke some huge record. And, you know, of course, they are trying to crack how we'll be able to get off this rock and spend long periods of time traveling or going to the moon or to Mars or to Europa. They think Europa is a potential candidate, or Galice. That's one of the Earth's way out there, they think they found. You know, but the rich tech billionaires, this is what they're putting a lot of money into, if you notice, is getting off this rock and private space programs. And this is another new 21st century push. We've got to get off this rock. Got to pass executive space orders and make sure we take control of everything. Guys, there's something strange afoot. So get this. Early results from the NASA's twin study involving Mark and Scott Kelly are actually kind of unnerving. We cannot predict what space will do to us, and this is why this is so important. Rich people are investing. When it comes to seasoned astronaut Scott Kelly, that is the husband of Gabby Giffords, who last year broke the U.S. record for the most time spent in space, NASA sure got lucky. A wink, because he happens to have an identical twin brother who is his exact genetic copy, and I'm going to add, and happens to be a NASA astronaut. I mean, this is just bizarro. Says that means the space agency had the perfect opportunity to figure out how extended periods of microgravity can affect the human body. And now that the first results from NASA's twin study are in, it is becoming clear that in some cases, the effects are totally opposite of what scientists were expecting. Well, how strange. Figuring out how humans are affected by long-term exposure to the conditions of outer space is something researchers have been grappling with for decades, right? Since they really never had people outside of that magnetosphere to see what exactly would happen long term. You better figure it out fast, since you got people like Elon Musk, Branson, Bezos, all chomping at the bit to get these rockets off the ground. For one thing, the sample size is incredibly small. Only 10 people can be living on that International Space Station at any one time. And remember, we're dumping that soon. The U.S. said, we are going to abandon that space station and work on the moon base. That was probably 6-8 months ago they announced that. But we've only been sending humans into space, wink, for over 50 years. And there is a control group problem, of course, because each human is different. So if a particular person experiences biological or genetic changes out in space, there is no way to know if they would have experienced the very same thing on Earth had the situation been different. Well, don't worry about it, because that is why the Kelly brothers are so damn important. Ding, ding, ding. I don't know. I'll have to send this to Stephanie. I don't know if Stephanie saw the story, but I'll have to send this to her. Mark Kelly, of course, being Scott Kelly's identical brother, again, like I said, who also happens to be an astronaut. They possess the exact same genetics, which gives scientists the opportunity to compare how his body changes here on Earth are different or the same as Scott's body's changes in space over a specific period of time. And that is the premise of NASA's landmark twin study. I thought there was, in the past, if I am not mistaken, someone correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm still kind of hazy here with this illness, but I am pretty certain that I started reading about some weird experimentation and studies way back when, with some sort of MK Ultra, MK Butterfly, MK a la CIA weird experimentation from like the 60s, 70s, and potentially 80s that was going on with twins as well and ESP and that type of stuff. So, and I'm pretty certain of that. So this is not a new thing, them studying twins. I don't know, though, if they got lucky or if this has been something that they've been studying on these guys for a long time. It just, it struck me that this just came out of the blue. And look at this grand old study. And lo and behold, it was tied to longevity. So anyway, this is the premise of NASA's landmark study just being carried out in 10 individual investigations. So this is just these guys across 12 universities. So 10 investigations, 12 universities, all dedicated to looking at various aspects of Scott and Mark Kelly's biology. Well, golly, isn't that a lot of resources to be dedicated to looking at the cells of two dudes? 10 individual investigations for probably millions, if not billions of dollars being spent across 12 universities. To give you an idea of the brother's history, Scott Kelly spent 340 days in space between 2015 and 2016 and has spent a total of 520 days in space during his entire lifetime. I would say that makes Scott Kelly quite the experienced astronaut. But on the flip side, Mark Kelly, who also calls himself an astronaut, has only spent 54 days in space across multiple missions between 2001 and 2011. The results are only just coming in now. And while the researchers are a long way off from making any conclusions just yet, what we are seeing are significant differences between the brothers, and not necessarily in the way you might think. And this is where it gets strange, guys. Almost everyone is reporting that we see differences, says one of the team, geneticist Christopher Mason from Weill Cornell Medicine in New York City. The data is so fresh that some of it is still coming off the sequencing machines. But based on previous animal studies, which may have shown worrying signs of liver damage in spacefaring mice and brain damage that could lead to anything from memory loss to anxiety to full-on dementia, it is easy to assume that the changes to Scott Kelly would be far worse than Mark, since Scott spent 10 times more time in space than Mark experienced in the comfort of Earth's protective magnetosphere. And let's not forget what's been happening to astronauts themselves, including eye problems, bone density loss, and discomfort akin to the world's worst hangover when they come home. But one of the most striking results from the twin study so far is that during his year in space, Scott, Gabby Gifford's husband, Scott's telomeres, you know, those little things that shorten every time you have some sort of stress or damage or oxidation or whatever, drink too much or eat too much pizza, that shorten your lifespan. Scott's telomeres, the DNA protecting structures on the ends of his chromosomes, actually grew to be longer in his white blood cells than his brothers. Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Now, when I posted the story last week, I think I might have been out of town at that time, but I put a little note. It's a win for this round for longevity medicine. They have been spending so much money, time, and research in the labs trying to discover how to lengthen telomeres. This is something that tech billionaires are investing in, and who would have thought that they were going to find by sending someone up into space that those telomeres, at least in the white blood cells, would lengthen. So it's quite the surprise. And like I said, we have all these tech billionaires investing in longevity medicine. We also have them investing in rocketry and the future space program. So how interesting is it that there is some potential good news in the realms of longevity when it comes to space? This is exactly the opposite of what we thought would happen, says one of the team, Susan Bailey, a radiation biologist at Colorado State University. A second lab has also confirmed this unexpected increase in telomere length. That's pretty nuts, because telomere length is thought to be one of the most important indications of health and longevity. And each time a cell divides, your telomere gets shorter to the point where the cell can't replicate anymore. And a cell that can no longer replicate either dies or becomes sentient, which means it can no longer grow or function as it should. Right? We become defective. This telomere shortening process has been associated with a higher risk of cancer and premature death. So scientists think that the longer your telomeres are, the more likely you are to avoid the most damaging effects of aging. So why would life in space, with all of its provably harmful cosmic radiation, gravity levels that humans have not evolved to cope with, and strange and limited diet choices, result in the apparent benefit of longer telomeres? I don't know. You tell me. But I could guarantee you that there aren't creepy guys like Kurzweil that are rubbing their hands together and now want to get a $150,000 trip to space. I don't remember who was commercializing that. Was that Virgin? It was one of them. Virgin Atlantic, Sir Branson. What was his first name? Branson, who was just out partying with Obama. Did you see him in the British Virgin Islands? A couple days ago, I saw they were like windsurfing or wind skiing. I don't know. I'm sure Obama will go into space once they get that off the ground. You also have Demi Moore's ex. What was his name? The kid who married his mom. Demi Moore, she's just like is psychopathic over this longevity shit. So he was investing all of his bazillions and fortunes when he was her husband. I don't think they're married anymore. Into trying to keep Demi young. This is he's booked a trip up on when they start sending shuttles up for commercial space travel. It is not clear yet as to why this happens, but one early hypothesis is that Scott was exercising more and eating more lean foods in space than Mark was down on Earth, which is true. I thought about that. You know, you got to stay in good shape when you're in space. You got to keep moving. And these benefits not only counteracted the damaging effects of space, but they overtook them. And that is possible, but I don't think so. I mean, nutrition and exercise are very important, and they do keep you young. In all my research, I've come to the same conclusions. But, you know, how do they explain? Does it make you younger? Like, it's just bizarro. So anyway, what might seem like good news that Scott appears to have gained an apparent health benefit from being in space. What is more striking is the fact that it was so unexpected. So of course, we have lots of money now dumping into this. The last thing that anyone wants, if you were one of the dumbasses considering being one of the first astronauts on a 6-month journey to Mars, is that potential colonists, you want to make sure that their health and well-being will be beneficial. And this could just be the tip of the iceberg. Live forever, go to Mars, right? Other initial results from NASA's twin study have revealed significant changes in gut bacteria between the brothers, ding, ding, and shifts in gene expression, as in space appears to alter the way our cells process basic genetic information. This is pretty nuts. So we're just learning this now after 50 plus years of sending men up out into the upper atmosphere. Such changes happen in earthbound people all the time, associated with environmental shifts such as changes in diet and your sleep habits. But the changes in Scott seem to be quite a bit larger than normal, perhaps due to the stress of eating freeze-dried food and trying to sleep while floating in space. These early results were reported in Texas on January 26th at a meeting of scientists working in NASA's Human Research Program. And that was the first time I had actually heard about that program, was this article. Peer-reviewed papers detailing the findings are not expected for at least a few months, while analyses are carried out and the results confirmed. So we will have to wait and see what researchers turn up. But if this is anything to go on, we should expect a whole lot of surprises, because it looks like when it comes to space, we have barely even scratched the surface of what can happen out there. And there is nothing quite so unnerving as the unknown. And I have to say, guys, it sure is, because this is this human experimentation now that they are doing to see what kind of benefits or detriments you have from going up into space. The space shuttle station, sorry, is still within our magnetosphere. It's not even like it's out there in wide open space getting fully irradiated. And like I said, we got all these rich billionaires now who are starting their own space programs and commercializing everything. Yeah. I have a feeling that they already had some ideas that telomere lengthening was a potential benefit, because they are all over longevity medicine. Now, of course, we have nanobodies that they are working on, the nanorobotics. Nanobots in your blood, robot doctors, is something that we had first read about back 3-4 years ago when they were talking about how it would be in long-distance space travel. We would have to have something like a Star Trek doctor in our blood that is able to detect and repair bodily dysfunction before you even knew something was wrong. Since you're not going to have robot surgeons, well, you might. You might by that time. But if you're on Mars long term, you're not going to necessarily have all the technology we have here. So they have to make something that will be able to fix and cure you without having access to resources here on Earth. And those little nanobot doctors were one of the ways that they were already working on for NASA for long distance space trips. Well, we had a story here the other day. From Elon Musk, again, another gentleman with his own little space program. Elon Musk, you gotta love to hate him. I don't hate Elon Musk. I like Elon Musk. He just makes me want to trust him, but I'm afraid I get sucked in easy. And Bill Gates was one of those people for me back in the 90s. I wanted to trust Billy, and I did. We listened to every word Billy said. I just dangled on that next carrot for what he was going to envision for the future. Bill Gates has led us now to a place where I don't like where we've gone. Bill Gates is in this mad science mode, talking about reducing carbon quotients and utilizing vaccines to help reduce the population. Elon Musk, though, is pushing forward. He's on all these different councils, tech councils. He's on that one of the federal councils now to be an advisor, and he's taking a lot of flack for it. He's got his own space program. He's building his self-driving cars. He's working on his power wall and all this other stuff. Well, Elon Musk is also preparing to release brain hacking technology. We've talked a lot about this. It's all about now getting into the recesses of the mind to be able to manipulate and control everything. And it's in the name of keeping you safe and keeping you healthy, of course. But he is not alone. Today, this was from January 25th. Elon Musk stated that updates regarding his Neural Lace project, which is meant to augment the human mind, are coming next month. Now, for all the loving you've been doing on Elon Musk, ding, he is working on a Neural Lace project. Remember, Elon Musk is one of the people who came out and warned about superintelligent AI, who came out and warned about the future, saying that eventually we will be enslaved by them and they might keep us as pets, keep us in cages to keep us safe. He is on that committee against autonomous killing AI machines, along with a lot of the other well-known tech moguls. Making a new kind of human. Well, the age of the machine is well underway. Now, remember, we read a story last 2 weeks ago that was from 2010, out of the New York Times, that had looked at the whole future of the singularity. And that was from 7 years ago. Looked at Kurzweil, Larry Page, Sergey Brin. It was all the Google people laughing away about their Singularity University and all these new disruptive technologies that were coming in the future that would allow us to merge with the machine easily, augment ourselves, the next evolution of humans that would be able to take us to that next level of solar system traveling entities. See, they are certain that the next chapter for the human race is to get off this rock and to start populating our solar system. And that's no joke. This planet is too small and too polluted, they say. So it's time to dump our money into getting off this rock as fast as we can. Of course, if you have the money. That's what all this is about, by the way. Our tax dollars are going into paying for a lot of this research that's going on and all this stuff, whether it be from DARPA sprinkle dollars or NASA sprinkle dollars. It's the same division, just the dark side versus the light side. But all that taxpayer money that's funneling into those programs is being used to fund the research that will be used to not only get these rich people off this planet, but to help them live forever. Guys, everything we do is feeding this machine. So as we step up for experimentation or whatever, clinical trials, we are feeding this data into a system that they could tell us all day and night is going to be for us, going to be for little Johnny. It's going to be to cure him. It's going to be for Johnny's progeny to be able to survive two generations in the future when planet Earth looks like it came out of a copy of Dr. Seuss's The Lorax, or out of Wall-E from Disney. And it will, guys. It's just so sad. But as they use their DARPA synthetic biology push a button to create life on the fly that might be able to go and terraform Earth and fix it again like they're going to do tomorrow. Say, it'll be all better after that, but don't worry about it. We're spending all this taxpayer money into trying to create new humans, new life, new Earth. No big deal. The age of machines is well underway, and there is a very good chance that humanity will be left behind. Oh, sorry, Charlie. Artificial intelligence is beating us at poker. It also beat us at the game Go. It is saving lives like Dr. Watson by identifying diseases when human doctors fail. It will be running our grocery stores. It'll be driving our cars. And AI, and we talked about this not too long ago, is now creating AI on its own without human intervention. So soon, very soon, and this is not me, this is the story, our competitors, which happen to be the AI computers, will surpass us in every skill imaginable. This fact concerns a number of individuals, as artificial intelligence is predicted to outpace humanity at an unprecedented rate. And remember, the law of exponential returns. Computers creating computers, AI creating AI. It just keeps going in that upward slope. It's not a nice little curve anymore. It's just going straight up. And it's happening faster than we could ever imagine. And they are not alerting us yet. Remember, every time we read a story, they're like, well, it's a long way out there. And then every once in a blue moon, we'll find a story where a real researcher comes out and goes, oh my God, it's happening so fast. We can't even believe it. It is, people. It is happening faster than you would ever imagine. And one day, ba-ding, it's just all going to be here. Surprise. And they probably wouldn't even tell us. It's going to be integrated into all of our lives and into the back end. So it just looks like magic on the front end. But this is now predicted to outpace humanity at an unprecedented rate, which may result in AI looking at us in the end as nothing more than house pets, or maybe even doing away with us entirely. This fear, and it is a real fear, has pushed Elon Musk to suggest something rather unconventional. And this is where I'm a little scared, because Elon, he struck me as really being heartfelt about his belief that AI is going to make us pets or kill us all. And I would have to second his opinion. I felt that for a very long time. You remember, machines have no emotions, so it's not like they could feel some empathy for you because you might be cute or funny. No, no, no. We don't need you. You're a nuisance, and you're getting in the way, and you guys are like fleas. So, pssst, one little squirty. And that's the end of you, Charlie, especially after the AI was turned on to all of our medical records and given access to all of our genomic data, so they know everything about us and all of our weaknesses and chinks and the easiest, most efficient way to snuff us all. I mean, we really should be concerned about that. Sure, Watson's saving lives now, but, you know, the military is also a part of all of this AI research. And I don't really know how closely the DOD is working with IBM on Watson, per se. But they are definitely working with IBM. There's a very long history of IBM working with the federal government, with other federal governments, and with other governments, like back after World War II. But we read a story not too long ago about IBM creating a new, extremely fast supercomputer and then giving it to, I believe it was Lawrence Livermore, in California, to be able to start doing some experimentation with it. So you know that they all have a finger in everybody's pie. But anyway, Elon Musk fear that we might be house pets or wiped out by AI has pushed him to suggest something rather unconventional and almost controversial, and I would say pretty controversial, and that would be the neural lace. In short, neural lace is a device that is intended to grow with your brain. Its primary purpose is to optimize mental output through a brain-computer interface. Now look, guys, remember, we've been talking about DARPA and brain implants, and they are trying to normalize these things. Remember, they had National Geographic do live brain surgery. That was to cure a Parkinson's patient with their little implant that would push the dopamine button. They want to normalize this, and this augmentation is something that we're hearing more and more. Little Johnny won't be able to compete in the future unless he is augmented. The primary purpose of this mesh, this neural lace, is to optimize mental output through a brain-computer interface, allowing the human brain to effortlessly access the internet and thus keep up with and someday merge with intelligent systems. Now, funny that we're discussing this, because the story we started with today was Ray Kurzweil in the 2030s, nanobots in our brains will make us godlike. And one of the things that Kurzweil, and in the story they even quote Google co-founder Larry Page, it talked about was being able to have these little nanobots connect to our neocortex in our brain so we could be connected 24/7 to the internet cloud and augment our thinking capabilities. There are a lot of rich people who are talking about these same sorts of technologies. Musk asserts that this neural lace could push our cognitive performance levels to that are comparable to that of AI. And he has teased updates before, and now we may be finally getting something solid. However, Musk is not the only one working to ensure that humanity can keep up with AI. So, like we've talked about before, the haves and the have-nots, you're either going to get augmented or you will be left behind, puny human. Meatbag. They're going to call us meatbags, and those guys will be the tin cans. Brain Tree founder Brian Johnson is also investing $100 million to make a neuroprosthesis to unlock the power of the human brain and ultimately to make our neural code programmable. We've talked about brain reconditioning, but it looks like they're talking about taking this even a step further. Johnson outlines the purpose of his work, stating that it is all about co-evolution. Our connection with our new creations of intelligence is limited by screens, keyboards, gestural interfaces, and voice commands, constrained input-output modalities, but we have very little access to our own brains, limiting our ability to co-evolve with our silicon-based machines in powerful ways. Guys, they are talking about some really, really scary-ass shit, and I am afraid to tell you, but this whole 21st century cures thing and this whole push for curing mental illness, diagnosing mental illness on a spectrum through your smartphone and your neurological surveillance that was listed in the 21st Century Cures Act is all a part of the same thing that we are talking about. The Brain Initiative gives them carte blanche to do all kinds of experimentation, and 21st Century Cures makes it legal. Yes, the Johnson's company called Kernel wants to do more than just allow humans to interface with machines. His neuroprosthesis is intended to also repair our cognitive abilities, which allow us to combat neurological diseases, because, of course, we have such an epidemic of dementia and Alzheimer's and everything else. And they'll know exactly who you are, of course, because, like I said, they'll be able to diagnose you through your smart device and then be able to monitor you non-invasively with your Fitbit-like device. They will allow us to combat neurological diseases such as Alzheimer's, ALS, Parkinson's, and other conditions that destroy our brains and our lives. And I'm not saying that there aren't diseases out there. I'm just saying be careful what you ask for, because the cures are going to turn us into somebody else's marionettes. And they even said my famous phrase, ding, ding, this is just the beginning, and we cannot forget that. Such advancements could allow us to literally program our neural code, which would allow us to transform ourselves in ways we cannot even imagine. Guys, the world 5 years from now is going to be complete and utter lunacy if all this stuff is allowed to go unchecked. We could literally program ourselves into the people that we wanted to be. Sounds like something out of science fiction. But it is based on remarkable scientific work and ensured devices under development work by replicating the way that our brain cells communicate with one another. This tech envisioned is based on 15 years now of academic research that was funded by who? Oh! The National Institute of Health and DARPA. So get ready. Human super intelligence is only a matter of time. Well, guys, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. And where are we going to end this one up? I don't know. There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And I think we will continue here tomorrow, but we might as well hit this one up. We heard another tech billionaire is getting in the game, and that one would be Zuckermucker. Good old Zuckermucker. Somebody in chat dropped me the story yesterday. We had read the initial story about Zuckerberg wanting to cure all diseases and using his fortune to do it. Well, listen to this. Mark Zuckerberg is now paying nearly 50 scientists, and I believe it was 47 I read, as part of his plan to cure all diseases. It's got to make you feel warm and fuzzy. We got all these tech billionaires right up our asses discovering how to make us live forever. Mark Zuckerberg's wildly ambitious plan to treat and cure all diseases has made a step forward with the announcement that it is funding dozens of scientists over the next 5 years. The Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, more affectionately known as CZI, is an organization run by Facebook co-founder and pediatrician Priscilla Chan, who is Mark Zuckerberg's wife, and launched with a $3 billion, with a B, dollar check in 2016. Its aim is to help, quote unquote, cure all disease by the end of the 21st century, with a focus on investing in long-term scientific research that won't necessarily pay off straight away. Part of the CZI program is the Chan Zuckerberg BioHub, a medical research organization. And on Wednesday, the BioHub announced that it is providing $50 million in funding to researchers. This cash is going to 47 different people to fund their research for the next 5 years, with up to $1.5 million each. These investigators are looking into a range of areas, from imaging cells to developing biochip technologies, as well as to studying things such as malaria. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. Lonnie Clark is live up next, and we will continue this tomorrow.
Ozzy Skateboard.